That's right. Jay gets top billing.
Top
That's the way it goes.
Billing, brother. Hour two.
Hour two. It's all been about the NBA because it was the wildest day, as Mark Stein said on Twitter, the wildest day in free agency history, NBA free agency history. We're going to talk to Casey Stern, who anchored a beautiful desk yesterday for a long period of all this craziness on the NBA network. This program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide you a seamless mortgage experience, Jay.
I know that. We will get the batting stance guy in here segment,
yeah,
too.
We're going to talk baseball. So, we have to. There's a bunch going on in that, too.
I mean, Wimbledon,
as
I like to call it.
Osaka lost.
Number two
lost to in straight sets to an unranked opponent. This is crazy. There's never that type of parity in women's tennis.
No.
And also Serena Williams is like, yeah, this is hard. It's time to ask the pros, Jay, where you, the clones, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question. Be listening later in the show when we may answer your question.
That's right.
We'd love to do it. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
And we got a pro on the line right now.
Is he on the line?
He's there, Casey Stern.
I love
Stern.
It. Are
Casey
you there, Stern, brother? One of my favorite
What's
dudes.
What's up, boys?
How
Dude,
are you, my man?
How we doing, okay?
We're good. I was a little concerned for you as I'm watching the beautiful job you did covering this, the weirdest, wildest day of NBA free agency ever. Your sadness at what the Knicks were doing was making me laugh
it
so
was
hard. It was brilliant. You're like, Knicks still don't have them. It was just fantastic. How hard was it for you to watch that? And just tell me what you saw, and as the news is coming in, what are you guys saying on that set?
Yeah, look, from a Knicks standpoint, you're kind of numb to some of it.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, as somebody who has, been a lifer since I'm 5 years old with the Knicks mm-hmm. and the Mets mm-hmm. and the Islanders.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a strong statement, but I just was tweeting out, this is probably the most embarrassed I've been from all three at once in a week span ever.
Yeah.
Because it's just one after another.
Yeah.
I mean, Mr. Met and I are both going to be giving the finger to a bunch of people. It's just a joke. Right? You know, from a Knicks standpoint, expectations
right.
put you in a spot where you get disappointed. The one that's not their fault is the Zion one.
Right.
That's the one that disappoints you because you're used to the rest of the Knicks being a disaster. That one was like, well, they can't really screw this up. And we had the Patrick Ewing thing years ago, so maybe it'll kind of work out. That mm-hmm. doesn't work out, and I like RJ Barrett. The rest of it is a joke. You know, look, if you're not going to get the big fish, you have to have a plan. And I always put it this way in sports.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us who are our age sit there and we remember, you know, for some of the kids listening who are like, GPSs. No. We had Google Maps and MapQuest.
Yes, we did.
Screaming at the guy in the front seat, right?
To like
in
printing
the dark,
it out.
The light on and trying to figure out what the hell these arrows
are. Right.
Remember all that?
Yes. You're printing it out.
Right? It's good. Now, here's the thing. If you got a GPS and it tells you you're in traffic, it's going to take 2 hours and 17 minutes. You can handle that because you know exactly when you're going to get there.
That's right.
The whole idea before that was you never knew what was coming.
It's a surprise.
That, to me, is the same thing with sports. As long as you know there's a plan, you can wait, and it can be a quote-unquote process.
That's
the
right.
The Knicks have no plan. If you're not going to get the big names, you've got to then punt and try and get picks and continue to grow. So for them to move Porzingis, free mm-hmm. up space, and
yep.
then just figure, heck, we got to spend the money. Like I said yesterday, I was saying to the guys, you're asking about what we're talking about during the set. I was saying during the break, I mean, like, remember when, I remember sitting working at a drugstore for like $4
yeah.
an hour, and like you get your paycheck, and it's like, I have to spend every penny, right?
Yep.
Like you're trying to get, like, I will buy this thing at Woolworths I don't need. You know
yes.
what I mean? So,
yes.
like, that's the Knicks. Wayne Ellington for $16 million, Reggie Bullock for 21. As I said yesterday, if you are 6'9" and over, the Knicks are still looking for you to fill their power forward spot after
yeah.
getting three yesterday for God only knows what reason. What a disgrace.
And maybe James Dolan is, instead of like following the draft and figuring out a plan, just figuring out a new arrangement for Little Red Rooster for his JD
man.
And the Blues Man, JD.
JD and the Snake Bites?
JD and the
Shot
Sure
glasses?
Shots, the Pure Shots, whatever it is. who do you think, and we talked about this a little bit with Dan Wojcicki, who do you think came out the best in free agency? Obviously, the Knicks were far and ahead away from everybody.
And we're waiting for a major piece.
And we're still waiting for the Kawhi shoe to drop. But who did, in your opinion, did a great job?
Well, I'll say this about Kawhi, and I was saying this on the air yesterday, is you've got to kind of read between lines because everybody kind of talks to each other, and a lot of these guys are friends in the fraternity. Agents are friends. Mm-hmm. And some have the same agent. When the Clippers don't, guys, do a signing the entire day, and you know that obviously they had two max spots open,
right,
at least, and then you've got D'Angelo Russell, who would have been the guy with the Lakers, but then all of a sudden is ready to go to Golden State, you got to imagine that Kawhi and the Lakers is happening and soon. And that's just myself.
Really?
Forget about what's out there. I think that's going to happen.
You think Kawhi to the Lakers is going to happen? Wow. More than the Clippers.
I think it'll be
But don't you think so? But knowing Kawhi and what he just did in Toronto, aren't the Clippers a better fit for him? I know, you know, with LeBron and Anthony Davis, he can take a little bit of a load off, but you don't have a point guard on that team. I don't understand. I guess he'll bring the ball up, or LeBron will bring the ball up, but, like, what is it? Is it a load issue? Does he not want to take it all on, being the Clippers guy? What do you think?
Well, I think he's going to take more on, to your point. I think you guys make a great point that a lot of people, to be honest with you, are lost on. And that is, this is more of a load for him. Because remember, you know, if you're talking about a Kawhi, he's going to probably play 50 games, guys, mm-hmm. next year, right?
Yeah.
When he's sitting there with Toronto, you got a ton of other dudes. They don't have to worry. There's no stress. Here, you've got LeBron, who's already load managing and up in age. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Anthony Davis is Willis Reed seemingly three times a week. I never seen somebody go to the locker room so many times.
Exactly.
So, I mean, honestly.
Maybe he's watching NBA TV.
Right. This is going to be a thing. And look, we get seven Mellos, and we're going to get everybody. I mean, what are we going to ask Dwayne Wade to come back now?
Maybe.
Kyle Korver, you know, J.R. Smith.
J.R.
So
Smith.
I'm with you. But at the same time, I think there's, look, despite the fact that the logo Jerry West is with the Clippers, Doc
right.
Rivers, one of the great coaches, with the Clippers.
Yep.
I think the culture, Pat Beverly goes back, right, yesterday, all that.
Amazing.
They've got, to your point, all the glue guys, right, that Toronto had.
That's right.
And they still would have, remember, space because they didn't do two max guys. So if Kawhi goes there, what they could do is the anti-Clipper thing in the last couple of years where they moved Griffin and then Tobias Harris. They go the other way, and that is hang with them, and then at the deadline, add money because they still would have space. But there's something about the Lakers. There's something about LeBron and Anthony Davis and being a part of that and seeing the fact that you're going to, you know, be able to kind of play with players of that caliber for a guy who, remember, began his career playing with Tony Parker and Ginobili.
Tim Duncan,
yeah. Three Hall of Famers, right? So.
Yeah.
You know, no offense to Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam, you know, greatness, you want to play with great players. So I think you'll end up on the Lakers. I do. I'm with you, and we're on the same page with this, because
yeah.
I would do the 1 year with Toronto, run it back once, and then get back out to market and see what this Laker thing looks like before I go there.
Yeah.
I don't. There's nothing that hurts him. Think about this. He gets a year where you want to talk about playing with house money.
Yep.
I mean, you are a hero in the country of Canada. It doesn't matter what
you're
the hell
king
you
of Canada.
Load manage for 50 games. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And you're making 30-some-odd million dollars. That's what I would do, but I think he's going to end up a Laker. Biggest winners, Nets are obvious, but
yeah.
I go with the Celtics because Kemba Walker, to me, think about this, and I asked this yesterday, and I've been talking about this a bunch. Who's the best player he's played with at the NBA level?
Asked that yesterday on the show. You were right. You made that point yesterday, and I was like, he has not played with anybody like a Jalen Brown or a Jason Tatum or no one. And he's going to have
nobody.
Defensive guys on that team as well.
And a coach.
And a coach that is great. And he is more coachable than Kyrie. You know, I mean, this is what we said about Kyrie Irving. If you don't believe that the earth is round, you are uncoachable, period.
That's it.
If you believe that it's flat, Kemba Walker believes that the earth is round, and I say that jokingly, but he is a guy who believes in the team. And so I think he's going to flourish in that. Brad Stevens is going to make him even a better player than he already is. And so that,
the other thing is,
it's
too,
exciting.
Is that, you know, this with alphas, and we're going to see this with Kyrie because he will acquiesce to Durant. Is everybody's got to kind of, like, you know, the dog needs to kind of be put down.
Yeah.
Kemba is going to help build Tatum forward
yep.
by putting him in those positions.
That's right.
Not make it about him. because if it was about him, he wouldn't be a guy saying to Charlotte, I take less money to stay in this decrepit franchise.
Right.
So this is not a guy that way. And the last thing about the Celtics, this is just kind of, you know, it's not as sexy, but the bigger loss for them is Al Horford.
Yep. I agree. But a little bit of a head scratcher that you give Tobias Harris all that money and he's great at the four, and Al Horford comes in and he's your four. Embiid is the five, period, and Al Horford is your four. So now you're going to move Tobias Harris over to the three, and obviously you got Ben Simmons and Richardson. You'll have height all over the place. You don't have shooting, really, I guess, but I mean,
and they lose Redick.
They lose their shot.
Forget that. And remember, before Redick, think about this. They got Bellinelli and Ilyasova for nothing.
Right.
The year before at the deadline.
Yep.
Let them both go.
Mm-hmm.
Covington, who is a 3-and-D guy, can shoot.
Yep.
On. Saric could shoot. They got rid of him. Right?
So who
now
they
Redick
have?
Could shoot. They got rid of him. Mm-hmm. So Danny Green, they can't afford. So I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, Kyle Korver, I don't know where they're getting a shooter. I'll say this about Al. He's always wanted to play the four. And, you know, sometimes you can't be stubborn because I always talk about this with the leadoff spot, like, you know, in baseball. I don't care that Mookie Betts hits home runs. You don't even move him out of there. You lost months at a time for doing just something stupid. It makes no sense.
Right.
Ronald Acuña down here in Atlanta where I am, mm-hmm. is hitting a ton of home. You're not moving him to the cleanup spot.
No, so he's doing what there. He does so where
think,
he is.
That's correct. So Al Horford in today's day and age needs to be at the five. What I think you'll see happen is Horford and Embiid in the playoffs a lot on the floor together
yep.
because of Al's ability to defend.
He's a great defender.
During the season, you'll see Al facilitate and spend a lot of time in those minutes where Embiid's not there. And remember this, I don't think the Philly team wants to put Embiid in the spot we saw his body the end of last year.
No, he was
hurt.
It
may not be an outward minute restriction, but watch how much lower his minutes are, and I think in those minutes, Horford will be at the five, where he believes.
That's actually an amazing thought that Horford might be there to help preserve Embiid for a postseason run. We saw Indiana and Utah, who, in my opinion, are like in the same way that the Clippers and Brooklyn were somewhat mirrors in the East and the West. I think Indiana and Utah are very similar in terms of where they are positioned, and I think they both made a huge leap forward in free agency yesterday. Do you agree?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think when you look at Utah, they really got to go back to the Conley deal, which is a fantastic move for them.
Fantastic deal.
Look, Donovan Mitchell needs help. You can't restrict him as the only guy with the ball. And Mike can play off it, but we know he also can run the offense. Bogdanovich is such an underrated player. First of all,
is he the most jazzy player ever? You know what I mean? He's like big, white, foreign.
He and Joe Ingles are like, I mean, the two of them could be, when's the podcast starting?
Can we please get that podcast
started? Or like a road show where they travel the world.
It's called Made Not in America. How about that?
Right, exactly. Like, when's that package? One is in one corner on the three-point line, the other's in the other. I think that was a really big move for them. You know, they'll miss favors, but they obviously had to kind of unload the money. The fact that Ricky Rubio, you know, the Suns are the Suns, right?
Ricky Rubio is still there. We're playing the potential card on that guy. Like, he'll be great someday.
As long as we don't have to see him, like, you know, in
a man bun
rear trying to, like, run behind him defending him, I'm okay with it.
Exactly.
Indiana, I think Oladipo's health is a key factor.
Sure.
And the second thing to look at with them is Sabonis' growth was enormous last year.
Incredible growth.
Turner got to be on the floor as much as possible
at
the same time
Agreed.
To put you defensively in a position where you are in trouble. Have to.
And they kept Miles Turner, which is great. I love everything that you're doing. I want everyone to watch you on NBA's expansive free agent fever coverage running 8 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Eastern today, daily coverage through Thursday.
Thursday.
There's a lot to talk about.
Seth Curry with a four-year deal. I mean, it's all going off, and obviously you want to watch what you guys are doing. Everyone on the table, by the way, did a fantastic job too. Insights, you guys had great call. The call in from Barkley was great. Zeke's call in was great. You handled it beautifully all the way through. You and Matt Weiner, everybody there.
We're big fans of yours,
Casey. Big fans of yours.
I appreciate that, man. Not just because we starred in a commercial together. It's my only acting credit.
I love it. And really. you helped us out on our thing that we did for TBS. That you and Jay Rahl and everybody. You did a great job.
Pedro.
Definitely. Check him out, KC, on NBA's expansive free agent fever coverage. Thanks so much, brother.
Guys, always appreciate it. And remember, Knicks fans, keep your Linsanity jerseys from burning because he's still available.
I want Linsanity.
Linsanity!
Thank you so much, Casey Stern.
Love
appreciate
it.
That.
All right, we are off and running, folks. Hour two.
If any new, if Kawhi goes anywhere, we'll tell you. Hopefully that happens sometime today and we'll get an idea. Casey Stern says Lakers. That's crazy if that's what it is.
Let's take a go. Hey, tweet at us. We're at Sklar Brothers. We'll read your tweets. Come up on the other side of this break.
Gar Reines, the batting stance guy in studio. One of our favorites. He's going to talk about throwing out the first pitch in Seattle. King Felix. He threw it to him, which is amazing. We'll talk about all that stuff and really get into, we're about the midway point in the baseball season.
All-Star game. We'll talk about some of his favorite batting stances in the All-Star game.
We'll be back. It's the Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, we are back on a crazy post-free agency day in the NBA.
Playing here. Indie rock in the jungle.
I love it. We're the Sklar Brothers, and our guest in studio is one of our favorite people in the world of sports. And I would argue the best sports impressionist out there, period. And one of the best...
comedic, physical comedians we know, Gar Reines.
The batting stance guy. Gar, how you doing, buddy?
Sensational, brothers. Thank you for having me.
All the glory to God, Sham God. That's, you always give it all to God, Sham God.
Providence. My daughter did not get into Providence. She got waitlisted, but she's going to Oregon.
I love
Look
it.
Look at that.
We are smack dab in the middle of baseball season. Like, we shouldn't be this crazy in the NBA offseason. It should be all we're done with the Stanley Cup. We're done with the NBA Finals. It should all be
this
baseball.
This is where baseball takes over right now.
It does. Yeah. I mean, this is the time of year where Mike Trout gets asked to do the Home Run Derby, and he says, no, leave me alone. Right? Why does he not... Could you get hurt? I mean, it's not like a Giancarlo Stanton I'm going to get hit in the face.
There's a lot of people that feel like there are statistical data that says...
you do worse after you win the...
Yes. Like, if you look at Paul Laduca's career, he always did worse after the All-Star game.
Could that have also been that he cheated on his wife?
There's a lot of things.
There's a lot to unpack.
But there are definitely players that had 30 home runs the All-Star break and then ended up with, like, eight more the rest of the way. When they did the Derby. Now, I think it's a little... kind of urban legend-y.
It reminds me of like the Madden curse. Like you're on the cover of the Madden and then you get hurt. Like it's happened once or twice and now we think that's what happened.
Well, LeBron doesn't do the slam dunk contest, but Aaron Judge will participate in like the biggest stars in the world of baseball do and the biggest hitters do participate.
Well, my guess is if it was in Anaheim, he would do it. Bryce Harper did it in Washington.
But he won't do it this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, he doesn't have to because Mike Trout... every kid that comes to the ballpark wants an autograph. Every fan in center field bleachers wants to play catch with Trout. I mean, Trout does so much. People that are around him that know him are like, what a fantastic guy. So he's got to say no to something.
He's like J.J. Watt. He's kind of the J.J. Watt of baseball.
They're actually built
they have the same neck. Same,
I don't know. He puts the whole world on his neck. He really does.
What is it about his stance like that in your opinion is the thing that just makes him
totally honest? I'm a little disappointed in Mike Trout's stance. So
why?
For everything that he's doing great because he stands like a little league coach would instruct you to stand.
Let's see.
All right.
Like Tom Emanski.
Yeah, he just goes straight up. He tries to get his torso as high as it'll be with his knees a little bit bent.
Right. His inseam is, I bet, like 29.
Yeah, so he'll basically go up real high, and then he'll always take the first pitch.
Uh-huh.
And then when he finishes his swing, he'll bring the bat back, pause for a second, and then start running like Ricky Henderson.
Yeah,
he it's gave like that extra. Fast people to do that.
Right,
now, and here's he's the thing. So his size has always been like that, so... Yeah. Follow me. The new president of the Hall of Fame, Tim Mead, has worked for 40 years for the Angels. Mm-hmm. And so when Trout won the Rookie of the Year, Tyler Kepner in the New York Times, who was the head of the Baseball Writers Association, this big gala event where there's 1,000 people in the crowd and you hand out the official MVP and Cy Young, stuff.
Yes.
So Trout and Harper were both the rookies of the year that year.
That's
so
right.
They had me be the entertainment on the dais. Like Willie Mays is in the crowd.
Stop!
Yeah. And so I'm sitting up there next to Susan Slusser and Nick Swisher,
And the Slusher Swisher.
The Slusher Swisher.
Where's
combo.
That podcast, Casey Stern? Yeah. Slusher and Swisher.
And so then, sure enough, Eric Kay walks up from the Angels and slips me a note that says, come to the Trout reception. So I go to the Trout reception.
Are they serving like trout?
Are they serving Tim Salmon?
They were not.
Serving Tim Salmon. The
greatest player ever to never make an All-Star team, Tim Salmon.
He never made an All-Star. Wow.
And then
he was like sponsored by like K-Swiss.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And Kevin Bass is like, I'm not even the best outfielder with the last name that's a fish. So then I go to the event.
You go to the Trout reception.
And it's Trout's high school buddies from Melville or whatever. And God bless you too. But they're all your size.
Yeah.
Well, and Trout so tiny.
Is just a beast.
Yeah. It looks like. Like a camp counselor with the kids. And he was so cool, but we were roughly the same height.
He's 6'3".
Yeah, Trout. He's 6'3". And I would say his weight is distributed better than mine.
Okay,
so
fair.
He's so jacked
up.
Yeah, but his friends were just, it was so funny to watch him. He's, at the time he was what? 20? I mean, he was really young, so he wasn't even...
And just has continued to be consistent.
Like, he came into the league like a fully formed dude.
He may be the first guy to get inducted into the Hall of Fame before he's done playing.
While he's still in the league.
So, a couple of Twitter accounts I follow, they're telling me what his WAR is, and then the players that he's passing. I mean, I think he just passed Tony Gwynn. It's like he's like 4 hits and like a bucket of hot wings away from like Derek Jeter's.
Wow.
I mean, he really is in like Kirby Puckett territory, where if his career ended,
he would be still up.
I'll bet you Pujols, the day he left the Cardinals, had he stopped playing, he probably would be in. Because some people, you're that good. When you're that much better than everybody else for a 5, 10 years.
Like, Bulls put together a decade. He had a decade.
That first decade is, it goes.
But like Koufax retiring at, 30? And he was in, no brainer, because his peak was so high.
His peak was so good.
Yeah.
His peak
he didn't have to do like Don Sutton, Bly 11, or have like 23 years of being pretty good.
Are you surprised at Kershaw's bounce back this year? I mean, he is like, what? I think he's 7-1 or 7-2, whatever he is.
I mean,
right,
it helps when your team is hitting the hell out of the ball, but there is that moment where people were like, last year he's done.
Yeah, remember they're like, hey, he's lost a couple miles per hour on his fastball. He's too predictable. He'd get into like a hitter's battle in the playoffs where you're like, oh, he's going to lose this battle. Where always you were like, oh, watch out. He's going to strike you out.
I can't pretend to know what Kershaw's thinking, but I think that
just thinking about surfing.
Walker Buehler and Hyunjin Ryu, I think has meant that Kershaw could not even play, and the Dodgers would probably still be in first,
running away with it.
But that's got to be some relief that you're not the man all the time, no matter what.
Shoulders.
I mean, I think average Dodger fan, of which we know a bunch, if Kershaw just went to like Lake Havasu or like built another orphanage in Uganda and came back for the playoffs and was great, that would
be like, we're
awesome.
Fine. Yeah, just
we're awesome, dude.
You know, you're
an all-timer in the regular season.
Just rest up and just try to stop women from running out and hugging Cody Bellinger, which is like the new Morgana the Kissing Bandit.
Like a rotating Morgana the Kissing Bandit.
I think it's because his stance. Like, so what is the Bellinger stance? Give us the breakdown of the Bellinger stance.
The Bellinger stance is completely awkwardly straight up. And then it is eyes really wide and like you're about to sneeze. So to the folks at home, it's a little bit like this.
Yeah, he does look like he's about to sneeze. Something's right under his nose.
Right under his nose. And then he takes such a mighty,
hard swing. Every time.
And he does the Jason Worth front knee buckle like it's going to break. And then he follows through much better than he did last year. He did a lot of little like weird flippy hits to left.
Where he
was like, the body was already moving, but then it was almost like a slap hitter in a 12-U softball game.
Yeah.
And I think what's helped with Bellinger is the Dodgers, by getting rid of a few people, actually opened up. Like, it was absurd that Bellinger was Muncy. A lot of these guys were righty-lefty platooning.
Right.
Yes. They were good. I mean, Bellinger, look at this. He's good enough to bat against righties and lefties.
Good enough to play
anywhere.
But
for whatever reason, you had Kemp was playing great in the first half last year. You had Puig. You had guys. Chris Taylor could play all these different positions. Right. So there are too many mouths to feed. So by getting rid of a few guys.
Addition by subtraction.
It's like the Celtics. Addition by subtraction. Yeah. They may be a better team this year because of the guys that they lost. So that is fascinating. And they're playing unbelievably well. You threw out the first pitch in Seattle.
So, yeah, it was really a dream come true. So the Mariners last year had me come down to spring training, and then Scott Service put me in the middle of the locker room, which, by the way, is a completely different locker room than this year. So it was like Robbie Cano, Nelson Cruz, Gene Segura. I mean, literally a different. Yeah. And so they're all calling out names and different people to imitate. And then, sure enough, the Mariners said, hey, if you ever come up, we'll show you what we're doing, because they filmed a bunch of stuff to put on the Jumbotron last year.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. And so they said, hey, if you ever come up, let us know, and then we'll have you throw the first pitch.
That's
so
I was amazing. Like, well, I'll tell you. Are you freaking out?
Right now. Yeah, of course. Because the only other time I threw in the first pitch was thanks to you in Cleveland.
Threw out the first pitch in Cleveland, and then we told them they should get you to throw the first pitch.
And you did it.
Yeah, so that was great.
So who'd you throw it to? Because that's always the thing.
Yeah, so I haven't done.
You drove up.
I haven't done pitching motions because I really want. There's some kid out there who imitates pitchers, and I want his or her dreams to come true.
Right.
Because by imitating
players,
you want
the pitching motion girl.
Yeah, because it's been so much. It's been life giving to me to be able to meet all these players.
I don't think it's niche enough. What you do.
There's like 3-point stance guy in Amarillo.
It's right.
I'm a great offensive lineman. Look, I do exactly what.
Look at this.
That is Larry.
I am doing Taco Charlton.
So I end up going out and saying, hey, is it okay if I throw it like Felix Hernandez?
Great.
Yeah. So they give me an old school jersey. And so I try to unbutton the jersey as far as it'll go. They give me a Hernandez jersey.
That's amazing.
And now you wear the hat.
I do the show Fernando where it Rodney. Goes.
The Fernando Rodney.
Pedro Strop off to the side.
Fernando Rodney feels like, you know how you're driving and the sun is to your left and you just
move the visor to the passenger
like
side.
He's always
window.
Trying to block out something that's maybe there's like some people he doesn't want to see out there. And it's
like
just
on Rodney's is like when the visor on the side, you can pull it further.
Got an extension out there.
Yeah. It's like a nice car.
So you tilt it down. So it's not just that Hernandez tilts it to a little bit to left. It's that he pulls it down low.
He pulls it down low and he turns it to the side. He also has like Yadi Molina, like visible neck tattoos.
Yeah.
Creeping up, pulling the hat to the side.
That's right.
To the tattoo.
So you're revealing more of it as you go to the side.
I go gold chain.
Huge.
I love it.
I then go the motion is you have to look supremely bored.
Right.
So what I'll do is I'll post a picture right after this.
Okay.
And I'll tag you on it and you can look at it.
Follow him at Batting Stance G on Twitter and Batting Stance Guy on Instagram. He's a fantastic
follow. Hilarious follow on
Instagram. So I'll post it. And so at the different moments of the Felix imitation, it's you got to act super bored.
Like, shoulders down.
When are we going to finish
like
this?
Like, mom.
I'm hot.
Let's go.
Can we please finish?
He's at a lighting store waiting for his mom to pick out a lamp.
He's my kids at Yosemite. You're like, are you serious? There's a perfect game that's about to happen here.
Really? My kids are like, Dad, are we finished filming? Who's Mike Schmidt? Let's go. Let's go.
Let's do it. All right. So he looks really bored.
Then when he turns to pitch, he fully coils around, almost Louis Tiant, where his back is facing the catcher. The
Gene Garber style.
Yeah, Gene Garber style with a little just shimmy of the leg where it's not comfortable for us.
No.
All right. Then when he throws it, after he finishes, the only real imitation of a Felix Hernandez final pitch
is him after the perfect
after a strikeout.
Is that weird. Adam Hawk knows it. It was like a half swing. I don't know, Brendan Ryan. I forget who it was. It was the Rays.
Yeah.
And so there's a ground ball out. They throw to first. And then he does the kiss your wrists. And then point up with like a Captain Morgan, like knee high.
Struck out Sean Rodriguez.
Struck out Sean Rodriguez. And then kiss
your wrists. Point to the sky, knee up,
and then everyone
jumped on him.
I never knew what the wrist
was. What was that? Did you ask? So you go out to throw out the pitch,
so
and who catches
first pitch,
it for
and
you?
Sure enough, Here comes Felix Hernandez.
King Felix catches it for you.
So King Felix comes out, and I point. He sees the chain. He sees the unbuttoned jersey.
And he loves it.
I point. And I can't believe this. And I took my daughter on the trip, and literally on the way up, we stop off at University of Oregon. She falls in love with it. Then we're on the field. She's meeting the players.
It's amazing.
All this stuff. And then she picks Oregon, and that's where she's going.
She's going to Oregon
basically
in the fall.
Because of Felix.
And Felix.
So sure enough, pitch goes. We do the kiss.
Yeah.
Point up.
Did he hug you?
And there's no current player that wears as much cologne on the field as Felix Hernandez.
He has a future as an Uber driver. We don't know.
That's the only thing you can tell. You can only tell after hugging him after a first
pitch. It was Juan Uribe up to that point, but I don't think he's on a team.
No, it's King Felix. His name is Gar Reines. He's the Batting Stance Guy. At Batting Stance G on Twitter, the Batting Stance Guy on Instagram. Follow him. Congratulations on just everything that you do. And we're in baseball season. We'll be back. Let's toss it right now to Rob Ackerman. Rich Ackerman. Let's shout out to Rich.
I want to go to Rob Ackerman, but we're going to go to Rich Ackerman.
Hey, Rob Ackerman. Let's go to Rich. I'm sorry. Let's go to Rich Ackerman right now for a little sports update.
Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest hosts Jason and Randy Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, we are back. That was so energizing. Gar Reines, Batting Stance Guy. Follow that dude. He is fantastic. The Knicks just got their guy. I'm getting this in. Knicks just got their guy, and I forgot his name. Elfrid Payton, 2 years.
Look at that.
Elfrid Payton.
There you go.
There you go, Knicks. There you go, Stephen A. They got Elfrid. They got Payton. They got both of them.
They got Elfrid and Payton. I want to read a tweet at Vinny Hardy, our buddy.
Oh, love
at Banning Sands G and at Sklar Brothers. Who's more bored, King Felix or Mickey Tettleton?
That's a great question. Solid ask.
Solid ask.
Great question. Hey, guys, if you want to see us do what we do, stand-up live, we're going to be in Livermore, California on July 13th.
That's at the Bankhead
night.
Theater.
Bankhead Theater, the Livermore Arts Center. Come see us.
That's Saturday, July 13th.
Which will be great, and we'll be at the Montreal Comedy Festival at the end of the month, visiting our buddy Jonah Carey, who will be on the show tomorrow.
To talk about the possibility of baseball half the year in Montreal. Baseball becoming like your Jewish grandparents
spending half the
year in Montreal. The early months in Florida, and then they go back up north.
Which it could happen. We'll talk to him about all that stuff. We're on baseball now, obviously. Yeah.
Basketball is the main story of the day. We will keep reading. We will obviously continue to talk to people as news comes in about players, as news comes in about where Kawhi may or may not land. We don't know, but we're going to let you know as we find out. But we do have to talk about baseball.
I got an email here. Dear Blues Bros, Drunk Hall. Come on, give me some Drunk Hall.
Drunk Hall is so magical.
Dear Blues Bros, happy you're in the box day one, not changing my station, Mike Tyson.
You have a problem? Turn off your station.
No, don't change it.
Don't change it.
Dave near Mill W, War Blues and Sklones. Love you, buddy. Thanks so much. Let's talk about baseball because...
Leave it to the Mets.
The Mets!
The Mets are the Knicks of baseball.
They wish they were the Knicks of baseball. The Yankees coming off a successful, ridiculous... I can't even call it a beatdown. What was it, like 17-13? They beat the Red Sox in London. That was hugely successful.
That's right.
That game in London was hugely successful, and the Yankees are killing it.
Meanwhile, the New York Metropolitans
just screwing up,
having trouble,
screwing up death tributes. That's where they're at, losing 7 games in a row and screwing up death tributes.
Like they had to apologize to 2 living dudes who they put
in a death montage for the 69 Miracle Mets that they were just honoring.
Is it better to leave someone out of the death montage and apologize to their family?
Or put a living person in the death montage? That's a great question. Sklones, let us know what you think is worse.
And by the way, that's a hard thing to check.
It's really difficult
to fact check
to see if someone's alive or not.
It's really hard to go onto your computer.
Or your phone. A computer in your pocket just to see if everyone in this death montage that we're about to show is alive or not.
Oh, whoops. Those 2 guys are alive. Let's just take them out.
Yeah.
Let's stay longer
on this
picture.
It's pretty modular, guys. We'll just make everything a little bit longer.
Give 2 more highlights of that guy who died. Ron Svoboda. Is he alive? I don't know.
Maybe.
He made that catch.
Jerry Kuzman. Is he alive? I think so. Let's check it. Go
online.
Look
in the tiny computer in your pocket.
You don't even have to be in an office to do that.
I'm going to check if Jerry Kuzman is alive right now.
Say this. Checking on your phone if guys on the 69 Mets are still alive would be a healthy distraction from watching the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Better than watching the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets have wasted more good pitchers than New Orleans bars have during Mardi Gras.
Jerry Kuzman still alive.
Serving
Put
hurricanes.
Put him in the death montage.
Put him in the death. Come on, Mets. You're better than that. Put a living Jerry Kuzman in the death montage if you dare.
Put the Mets in the death montage. They're on a 7-game losing streak.
The Mets posted pictures of outfielder Jim Gosker and lefty Jesse Hudson with the words, "We remember," next to their pictures.
Look, I say this. I say this to people. May he rest in peace. Adam Hawk, I say, may you rest in peace.
He's not dead.
But he's got little kids. And I know it's been a while since he's had a full night's sleep.
Yeah, you just want him to have a good night's
rest sleep. Rest in peace, bro.
Handful of people who were only a handful of people remembered by the team. And again, super modular. They could have just lifted those two images right out. The Mets are all about letting stuff go. They let Daniel Murphy go. See, you just let it go. This is my favorite thing. A friend of Gosker texted him, "Jim, that was horrific, especially since I saw a post from you like 5 hours ago. Jim, they are really a mess. Where do they get their research?" And then he texted back, "I don't know. I wouldn't answer the phone if they called."
Mets killing it. You literally killing it. They're killing people off
who aren't even there. You wouldn't answer the phone if they called. You and every other high-profile free agent, Jim, wouldn't answer the phone if they called.
Does James Dolan own the Mets?
Can we blame this mishap on JD and the sure shots? Pure shots?
The shambalash?
The suit?
I just want to hear a piece of that song.
Yeah, JD and the peace shots?
Do we have that? Do we have his crappy blues band? It's ruining all of
wash
New York.
Wash away my troubles. Mm-mm. Wash away my pain.
Hey.
With the rain
been shot. I have an idea of how you can wash away your pain. Draft a free agent that means something.
This is a guy, when you hear
Elford Payton, 2 years.
When you hear that guy singing in the front and so front and center in vocals, you realize nobody says no to him.
Nobody says no to him.
Nobody says the Snake River Canyons.
They're still trying to reach Jesse Hudson. Still trying to reach him? This happened a few days ago.
They reached out to Gosker to apologize, but I guess he's not taking their calls.
He's not answering. He's not answering the phone. You hear that, Mets?
You have to leave a message.
Or call from a number that says no caller ID.
Unknown.
They're still trying to reach Jesse Hudson. Mm-hmm. Feel like with the team on the field itself, the Mets should be trying a little harder.
Agreed. Agreed. We know a lot of suffering Mets fans.
In all fairness to the Mets, I will say this. Dying would be the most significant thing Jesse Hudson did in regards to the Mets.
Yeah.
He only pitched 2 innings in 1969 in relief on September 19th.
Okay.
So, I mean, he was a part of the 69 Miracle Mets, but he pitched 2 innings the entire year.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that was his moment.
Hojo? Did they put Hojo in the montage? Howard Johnson?
They should have. He's not even a part of the 69 Mets. I would expect that.
Like, to me, I think there are people on the Mets who think that Howard Johnson also is the guy from the hotels.
Yep.
Like,
he's... Yeah.
They're like, aren't they orange? Isn't that their color? Those are Mets colors, I think. Hojo?
You said it, Jay. I would put a picture of the Mets' playoff prospects in the next few years because those are definitely dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We know those are dead. So you can show a picture of that.
Or post a photo of the reporter that Justin Vargas threatened
to
knock the F out.
Jason Vargas.
Sorry, Justin
Rob
Vargas.
Ackerman and Justin Vargas.
Jason Vargas. My bad. Justin Vargas has passed away.
Justin Vargas,
I think, played football.
Put Justin Vargas in the death montage.
Jason Vargas. Regardless, I don't care who you are. You don't tell a reporter you're going to knock him the F out because you don't like his question.
Yeah. You have to answer the question. That is part of being on the team and living in New York and dealing with the New York media. So, New York reporters are not going to stop. That is part of it. You come to New York, you're like, well, I got to deal with the media.
Look, you're going to get heat for being in second place. How do you think what do you think it's going to be when you're in fourth place?
And the Mets, again, have a great pitching staff.
One of the best. The Mets went to the World Series recently.
Recently?
I don't know, within the last decade?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty recent as far as I'm concerned. They didn't win.
No.
They didn't win.
They didn't win.
But they got there, and now you're squandering it? You're New York.
I mean, the including people in the death montage is, you know, we try very hard to remember people's names like Rob Ackerman. We work very hard, Rich Ackerman.
And Justin
Vargas. Justin
Vargas,
Jason Vargas. May they both rest in peace.
Which means Justin, get a good night's sleep.
Justin and Rob, you rest in peace. And then we'll figure it out. This is the new Vampire Weekend. God, I love this album.
Teamed up with the lady from Haim.
Yeah, This Life. This life that we lead. Guys, hour two is down. Still no news on Kawhi.
We'll find out if something happens in hour three. You got to stick around and listen to us. We'll be back tomorrow.
We did have news on Elfrid Payton, so there you go. All right, we'll be back. Hour three coming up right after this. Thank you, Jim Rome.
Rich Eck.